Good morning. So I was asked to come here this morning to talk about asylum seekers both here in Madison and at the border, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share some of the things that we've been talking about in the Dane Sanctuary Coalition, some of the work that we've been doing, and some of the information that we've found out over the last few months as we've been investigating how we as a sanctuary coalition can perhaps expand our mission and help some of the asylum seekers. I could talk about this for a really long time, but I won't. but it's a very complicated issue, and there's so much to it. I'm going to try and just kind of hit the important points this morning and hope that you'll investigate yourselves a little bit further, some of the things that are happening, again, both at the border and here. And first, I just want to mention, I'm sure you're aware, I hope you're aware, that the Trump administration last week announced that there are going to be raids starting across the country starting today. And actually, they were starting in New York yesterday. We don't anticipate raids here in Wisconsin, but you never know. And for right now, there's no action being planned. We're asking people to please try and keep calm, try not to panic, try not to spread rumors, and try just kind of stand by. And if actions are needed, we'll let everybody know what those actions are. But we really are taking our lead from Voces de la Frontera and Centro Hispano and just trying to stay calm, which is hard because everybody's very much on edge right now. But today we want to focus on the plight of the asylum seekers at the border and the asylum seekers who are here in Madison and the struggles that they're undergoing. So I know you've all seen the pictures, you've heard the reports about what's going on at the border. It is horrific. Children separated from parents for no reason, really no reason. People kept in cages, there's not adequate food, there's no medical assistance basically. Lights are kept on 24 hours a day. People are packed in to cages that are supposed to hold 40 and they have 100 in them. So you can't sit down, you can't lie down. It's impossible to sleep. You know, international law has declared that sleep deprivation is a form of torture. And we're doing that to people at the border right now. To me, as a mom, the most gut-wrenching, the most horrible thing that I've heard, that we've all heard, is that the aid workers, the siblings, are not allowed to touch the kids. No hugs, no pats on the back, no hand-holding. It is a form of torture to make somebody go through the day without human touch. And that's what we're doing. The United States has always held itself out as a champion of human rights around the world. And right now, we are guilty of some of the worst human rights violations that we're doing to people who came here for safety and came here for our protection. None of this is necessary. None of this is defensible. There is nothing illegal about coming to this country and asking for asylum. Exactly the opposite. International and national law say that people are allowed to come here and ask for asylum. It's been since after World War II, when during World War II, Jews were sent away. Jews who came to this border were sent back to Europe to be slaughtered. As a Jew, I know what it's like to come for asylum and be sent back and be slaughtered. This is the history of my people, and this is what we're doing to people today. In the United States, the law says any person who is physically present in the United States or who arrives in the United States, whether as a designated port of arrival or not, it doesn't have to be at a legal port of arrival. You can enter at any point. If you present yourself for asylum, you are allowed to do that, and you have to have a hearing. And if you are found to have a reasonable expectation defense that you are in danger in your home country, then you are allowed to come into the country legally and apply for asylum. Nor have we always put people in cages. It's been an ongoing issue. It has become just escalated hugely in the last 2.5 years under Donald Trump, but we've always done it. But there always have also been other avenues where people would come in and they would have their asylum hearing and they would be told, yes, you can come in and go through your process, and we'll assign you a caseworker. And that caseworker will help you find housing and help you find transportation, and will kind of, you know, keep in touch with you and make sure that you appear when your asylum hearing comes up. Sometimes there's been a program where they've been given ankle monitors and a caseworker and are helped while they go through their asylum process. And it's been an incredibly successful process. 99% of people who are in those programs show up for their hearings. The people who say, well, this is catch and release and they're just going to disappear into society and become, you know, part of the 11 million undocumented immigrants. No, they don't. They show up. They want to be in this country legally. So there's no reason for this inhumanity. Even the Department of Homeland Security said, we want those programs. We want more money for those programs. But the Trump administration shuttered them because they'd rather see people in cages. And they'd rather send people back across the border into Mexico, where Mexico doesn't want them. And they're literally sitting on the street at the border waiting to be able to come in, because there's no services for them in Mexico, and we're not giving them anything. And so they are sitting where they're in danger and where they're outside, so they're exposed to the elements, where they don't have food. And this is what we are doing to people. Some people do manage to get through the process, and they do manage to get a sponsor who will bring them into the country while they go through their process. But that's not the end of their troubles. There are people here in Madison who are asylum seekers. They have sponsors. They're here legally. So unlike the undocumented immigrants in our community, they're not at fear of being picked up and deported. They have paperwork from ICE saying you can be here, and you have a sponsor. But that's all they have. Unlike refugees who come to this country with refugee status who are entitled to services, an asylum seeker, while they go through their process, gets nothing. Literally, they get nothing. They arrive with the clothes on their backs. Maybe they have a backpack with some random stuff in it, and that's all they have. And they are not entitled to any services. They're not entitled to food stamps. They're not entitled to Badger Care. They're not entitled to housing assistance. They're not entitled to legal help. So they are completely at the mercy and the goodwill of their sponsors. And the resources in our community are tapped out right now. They come here, they have left their homes, they've left their families, they have left everything they know and are familiar with. They come to this country, most of them don't speak English. They come, they don't know where they are, they don't know where they landed. I'm in Wisconsin, where's that? Many of them are uneducated, some of them are illiterate even in their own language, and here they are in this place. They don't know the language, they don't know the people, they don't know the culture, they don't know what's going on around them, and they are traumatized, and they are scared, and it's a trauma that will be with them for the rest of their lives. The first thing they want to do is find a job, but they can't illegally work here. They have to wait 180 days from arrival to apply for a work permit, and then who knows how long it takes to get the work permit. But they do try and get jobs as soon as they can because they have to support themselves, and they're probably still paying off thousands of dollars that they and their families and friends scraped together so that they could get out of their home country and make the journey here. We work a lot with Fabiola Hamden. She is the Dane County Immigrant Outreach Specialist, and she's told us that she knows at least of 12 families that are here that are asylum seekers. And there's probably more. These are the 12 that knew enough to find her and ask her for help. But there are probably more who are in our community who we don't know about, who didn't know that there was someplace they could go for help. And Fabiola does what she can to help. Affordable housing in Madison is almost non-existent, and so for people who have no aid, you know, no housing assistance, who are possibly not working, to be able to find housing is a huge barrier, and legal assistance is a huge, huge problem. And we know that people who go to immigration court or to asylum hearings without legal representation have about a 14% chance of being able to stay in this country legally. With legal aid, they have about a 44% chance. So having legal help is so vital. In Dane County, there's a Dane County Immigration Assistance Fund, which helps to give legal aid to undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers. And that fund right now is very low. And so it needs replenishing. And we have amazing people here in Madison and in Dane County who are doing amazing things. People like Lila who go to the border and volunteer their help there. I've just been overwhelmed by the number of people who have called me and said, what can I do? How can I help? You know, I go to the border and I volunteer there, and then I come home and I don't know how to help when I'm home. And I'm like, well, you go to the border. That's amazing. And fabulous and unbelievable that people give of themselves and give of their time in that way. It really helps you to have hope to know how many people are stepping up now. It's a difficult time that we're living in. There's so much that's going on that just appalls us every day. But the way that people are stepping up is really inspiring. And so I really wanted to leave you all with this particular message. This is a quote from Howard Zinn, the historian. He says, "To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It's based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. If we remember these times and places, and there's so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. To live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that's bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. And I want to thank you all for your commitment to this cause and for all that you do at James Reeb to bring justice into the world. And thank you for having me speak here today."